Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Each week, I'll take you on a dark journey through terrifying true urban legends, bizarre true crime cases, chilling tales of backwoods horror, and more. So if you're looking to join a passionate community of the darkly curious, check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, stay curious.
Curtis on WEEI.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
All right, begins tomorrow, Curtis. Battle of rookie running backs, Ashton Jeanty, the Patriots could have drafted but didn't, and the package, Travion Henderson. Are you as encouraged by Henderson as Shime and others are? Do you think he's going to be a major factor this year for the Pats heading into the season?
Yes, I do. I don't think it's going to be, If you're most excited about a running back on your NFL team, it's probably not a good team. I'm far more interested to see how Drake May develops. He's really the biggest, I mean, by a mile, the biggest question mark, the biggest factor this year. Because it could go either way, and there's going to be an abundance of excuses that could accurately be used, whether it be offensive line or poor, you know, skill position players, whatever. But I do not believe he goes 17 games this year.
The big fear is he only goes like four and the season's like over, you know? I just hope he stays healthy. Just stay on the field.
It's just an eyeball thing, but he only played, four series in preseason when they were in Minnesota.
Which I'm fine with, by the way. I don't know how you feel about that. Who cares?
I don't know. Whatever. I'm not going to lose sleep over it. I would play him more. But when they were playing the Vikings, there was just one drop back. And he just hit in his head, he just seems fragile. I don't know how to describe it.
Well, he's moving all the time. With this line, he's going to be moving all the time.
And he's just, people now, I know that they can't hit the quarterback the way they used to. The Chiefs roughing the passer was awful
last night, in the second quarter.
It was awful. Like, he barely even, so they're doing whatever they can to protect him. But when you're out of the pocket, you're a runner. And I just... Unless there are major changes to how he approaches the position, I don't see how he plays all of season.
Well, McDaniels has been pretty conservative, especially to start seasons. Vrabel's, would you say, conservative by nature? I mean, that's his reputation. He kind of, you guys asked him about that, and I think he balked at that and said, well, our star player in, you know, Tennessee was Derrick Henry, so we were forced to be that way. So I don't think he wants to be portrayed as that, maybe. But they are. I mean, I'd be surprised if they go aggressive tomorrow. This will just be a don't be stupid, run the ball a ton type of game. Right?
I don't know. I think McDaniels wants to have a couple plays dialed up against the people that embarrassed him.
Mm.
So I think it won't be, you know, ready. They're going to set up the pass through the run.
Okay.
They're going to establish the line of scrimmage.
But I heard Curran say he still thinks Ramondre Stevenson will be the bell cow back. Henderson is more the third down accessory back. He'll be the number two. A lot of people don't feel like that's the way it should be.
Returner.
But he thinks that's the way it will start. Yeah, and a returner, which is a factor again, and that's bizarre to see that whole thing. And then you have the eagle eye first down spotter this year, which is different than the chain gang. So there are some things that you're going to be, you know, you're into it tomorrow. It's like, bang, season starts, there's new stuff.
Yeah, I thought, you know, in the two games that I've seen thus far, uneven, not a lot to read into it, but if the Bills or the Ravens don't, I know this is said every year, but if the Bills or the Ravens don't get to the AFC, the Super Bowl this year, they're never going.
Like, don't you think that's the AFC championship? It's the get over the hump game. One or the other will make a Super Bowl this year.
Yeah. And you know, I don't like the Ravens fan. I was at the AFC championship in 2012, and I took the commuter rail back to Boston and literally had blood flying at me.
Last time you took the commuter rail?
That's the last time I took it, until Brady Day. But it's, you know, they're kind of loathsome, but I think I like Lamar Jackson. I think the guy is awesome. He's improved his game. He's everything you'd want in a great player. There was a game a couple years ago that the Ravens, the Mac Jones hurt his ankle in, and it was, the Patriots were up a touchdown. And then there was this like stretch in the fourth quarter where Lamar said, okay, I have to win this game. And there's a second gear, unlike any player I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And I love Josh Allen. Seems like, you know, I watched some of the Hard Knocks. It's kind of, yeah, but Josh Allen represents himself well. He presents himself as a guy that understands what he has to do. And he's a hard guy to dislike. So, you know, I'm hopeful that it's Ravens-Bills, but I don't think – I really – I know it's early and the Patriots would always struggle early and everybody would say the dynasty was over, but the Chiefs are just not that good. And, and if Worthy's done for a significant amount of time, I don't know what they're doing at receiver.
Do you – well, they'll get Rushy Rice, speed seven, racer back, yeah.
So they have the Eagles on Sunday to not go 0-2.
Yeah, but they'll make the playoffs. They'll find a way to – I don't – no doubt they'll make the playoffs, but it might cost them a division. It could. Do you like the Drake Josh Allen comparisons? That's always the one that is gone to. I don't either think that's necessarily a great comparison.
And I don't know what I was saying about Josh Allen before he became Josh Allen, so I don't want to be hypocritical.
I was ripping him. I was a skeptic.
You know, you and I thought Jonnu Smith was going to be the MVP. So we don't exactly nail everything. However, just the stature. Josh Allen has always appeared more imposing and bigger than Drake May.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not by 100 pounds, but it's significant enough so that when it feels like Josh delivers blows, whereas Drake May receives them.
Drake feels more like Herbert in a way, doesn't he?
Right. I mean, exactly. Herbert's a big
he was running good last night.
He was awesome.
He made great decisions. I was impressed.
It's amazing what a great coach or a good coach will do for you. I mean, Harbaugh's there.
And protection. He's got weapons. I mean, they've got good weapons.
It's a huge win. Divisional win. You're 1-0 against the Chiefs. Not bad.
But back to the Patriots. So reasons for optimism. We started the show. You said Vrabel. That's your number one. Travion Henderson, you agree. You're excited about him. Drake May, definitely everybody's excited about him. McDaniels, would you put that as a reason
definitely.
For optimism? Yes.
I mean,
even despite like recent track record of mediocrity?
Scott Van Pelt's godfather was not great. Like, I mean, the guy was a bumbling idiot. Wow. He had no idea Marcus Jones.
He did not have much to work with, I'll say. Well, that's the Marcus Jones was bad.
It's like, you think things are going to be taken care of, and the most obvious are not.
Where is he out of football this year? Where is Scott Van Pelt?
I think he is. I remember,
Scott Van Pelt. Alex Van Pelt.
I remember where I had just checked in to the, whatever, the lovely hotel in by Loon Mountain.
Walpole Inn?
No, whatever. Hampton Suites, Hampton Inn. And you sent a text about this guy. And the only thing you had, you're like, yeah, he did radio at Pitt when I was there.
Oh, he played quarterback at Pitt.
Oh, then he did Bills games or something.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy was in over his head.
Oh, yeah. So you're excited about McDaniels just more by default.
Yes.
You got it back to, how about Diggs? Are you excited about Steph Diggs?
I'm excited to see what he has. I thought the whole thing was bizarre. The apology, like, that was so strange to me.
And it seems to be everybody was sort of asking behind the scenes, did Vrabel make him do that, or did Diggs want to do that? And it seems to be not proven, but that it was a Diggs idea. He wanted.
I don't see that being Vrabel's idea.
Okay, so I don't either.
Yeah, no.
It seems out of character for Vrabel to make him do that.
It is essential for Diggs to get off to a good start and to work with the people around him, because this season is not the start of a long-term relationship. Diggs wants one more big payday, and receivers are getting paid. They're getting paid into their 30s in ways they never used to before. So if Diggs is able to pop with Drake May, then he will be getting maybe, you know, 50, 60 million guaranteed in the final NFL deal before he retires. So,
texter, right, by the way, 508 texter, Alex Van Pelt hired by the Rams, a senior assistant.
Assistant to the regional manager.
Yeah, so there you go. He's on Sean McVay's staff. He'll succeed out there.
Right. His job is to go to, what's the place you tried out? The
In-N-Out Burger.
Yeah.
It was good, but I would not get the bun toasted. Ask for it untoasted, because it's just a weird texture. I didn't like that texture.
Oh, yeah. Who wants a toasted bun?
That's the default, I guess, which I was not aware of. So if I ever go back, that's what I would do. So, and by the way, I like the Rams. Don't you think Rams, Lions, those are the two sneaky teams?
It's all about Stafford. I mean, his back is a problem.
He's like 38. So maybe not.
It's crazy. Remember when 38 was old?
37, 38. So Diggs, you want to see, like, what would you project him for stat-wise? 60 catches? 70?
I don't really care about the number of catches. I'd say over 7 touchdown catches would be a successful year.
Okay.
And, you know, I don't think he's going to play 17 games either, you know. But the division is not good. The Bills are good. The Jets and the Dolphins are dog food.
What will the spread be next week in Miami?
Pick 'em.
Okay.
If they win this weekend, I think it'll be a pick 'em in Miami. And then I think the Steelers may be coming to Gillette favored by a point.
Miami week one has Indy, right? So they should be.
And they're 1.5
point
favorites against Indy, I believe.
Okay. I think they're dogs. I thought I saw there were dogs in that game, but either way.
By the way, I'm back giving college football picks as of right now.
Great. Good.
My idiot.
There's only one game that matters today.
Jordan and Carl went to Illinois, so I hate it. But I do think that Illinois giving only 2.5 at Duke. They're the 11th ranked team in the country. Bielma's done a phenomenal job there.
I've always said beat Duke.
I think Illinois rolls by more than 2.5. That seems shocking.
That's your pick of the day?
Yeah. Well, and the UNC covering against Charlotte tonight.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And picking Bill and a bounce back.
Oh, Bill bounced back all the time. Okay. I mean, look what he did. He bounced back from Linda to a 20-year-old.
Speaking about, I love this. Curtis bouncing back into picks in a big way after you said you were done.
What movie? I'll Have You Betting by the End of the Day.
I don't remember.
Oh, Dumb and Dumber. God, you suck.
How about the other receivers? Pop Douglas or Mac Collins? Excited about either.
I don't want Mac Collins to be successful because I don't want to hear him talk about his feet. I just find he seems like he's like the Dakota and Braintree of Patriots players. I never want to hear him talk.
Shot at Ralph and Dakota to start the show.
I love you, Dakota.
Back to the phones. Let's go to Jamie in Portland, Maine. Hello, Jamie.
Oh, hey, guys. This is just a Theo Epstein distraction call. You know, he's going off to the PGA competition committee.
Oh, he is?
And yes, he's on the committee along with Tiger Woods and some senior people. But I just, you know, this is a different endeavor when you manage a whole league, and it's just going to be so let's do the smart aleck thing. Hey, Gramps, you know, he's a golfer, right? This kid is in college. They've already cut the PGA Tour down to 100 people. You know, I got a less chance to get on. Some senator's grandsons, you know, some dream of being on the tour. And so they're going to do different things. They've already shrunken the size of the tour, but it's deep water when you manage a whole league. And so we'll see where it goes. You know, the other person who's on it is Tiger. And so the last smart aleck thing I'll say is that what's first, a Tiger with a top 10 finish in a major, or Tiger with his first senior tour event? And so then the last thing I'll say is that Tiger in a cart would be a bear. You know, if you put him in a cart, he'd probably still beat everyone. So I'll leave it there. Bye.
All right, Jamie. That was quite a diversion. I don't even know. So I'll try to make some point out about that relevant to anything we've talked about. Is Theo distracted by the PGA Tour and that cost the Red Sox come deadline time with the Devers deal? He was not involved enough.
I feel like I need to take a walk. I don't give two poops about any of that. I don't. Theo Epstein is here in...
Are you excited about the Ryder Cup?
I am. You know, I think Keegan should have put himself on there.
Almost too much LIV Golf Tour talk this year. I thought they really had a great year. It was just, they were dominating the headlines.
Scottie Scheffler's great, but I find golf to be not exactly something I'm thinking about, especially on September 6th.
All right. What are you optimistic about with the Patriots? We did some offensive guys.
By the way,
Matt Collins. That is disturbing.
You shared a very surprising story.
Okay.
Who knew people did blow on Nantucket?
Oh, that was the big story on social media making the rounds. Yeah, it was based on treating the COVID waters.
Right.
And they found a lot of high levels of cocaine, 50% above average.
Yikes.
It's a shocker. While you take a walk, we'll let Terp trend.
I love it. I'm going to go try and find some stuff.
Can we switch over to the defensive side of the ball? And maybe the Red Sox? A little optimism for the Red Sox?
Do you remember, did you used to listen to the old Dale-hosted Sunday NFL show on EEI where they would do one segment on defense, one segment on
offense? That's what we're doing. I'm starting O and going D next.
I love it.
After Terp.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Follow and listen to Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trends.
This is Ken and Curtis, WEEI.
I'm just excited about our opportunity, you know, to get going. Excited to be home on opening day. I think there's a difference between playing on the road and being at home on opening day. And we're one of the teams that has the opportunity to be here in front of our home crowd and, try to get off to a good start. So. Just excited for the preparation, really excited to see what our guys do for the first time in a game setting. We know it'll be a big challenge.
That's Josh McDaniels, not Alex Van Pelt, now of the LA Rams, senior assistant to the regional president. McDaniels, I think in the dark as everybody else is, as to what this offense will look like. At least that's what he says. Now, maybe he knows they're going to be good or knows they're going to struggle. I don't know. But how could you, after three preseason games where nobody plays, as you pointed out, Drake May barely played. What do you play, three series?
Four total.
Four series. You've got Will Campbell and Jared Wilson on the left side, very much unknown. Diggs, unknown. Efton Chisholm, don't know. Matt Collins, haven't seen him much.
You got a dangerous Crosby out there.
Travion Henderson, rookie, not sure. Could be fine, but I would say conservative tomorrow. You're trying to win a game like 21-20.
Todd McShay, though, many draft capsules praising with video accompaniment how great Travion Henderson is at blitz pickup as a running back at The Ohio State.
I like that.
So that will be clutch.
Pass protection is key. Now, on the other side, you guys have had a chance to talk to Robert Spillane. And he is going to be the big, obviously one of the anchors in the middle.
You ever have one of those talks where you're like, why does this have to end?
I have those with you all the time.
I just listen
you
to
and I have a lot of lengthy conversations.
I can listen to Spillane just go on and on about it. He's just very interesting.
Yeah, but don't you think he's important? He
sure.
might like lead the league in tackles, anchor in the middle.
Harold Landry.
Harold
BC
Landry.
Star.
Talk about quiet. Have you heard him speak as like a captain? I haven't heard him talk much. I haven't heard much about him. But he could be good. I don't know.
Yeah.
Signature free agent signing, but you hear more about Kalavon Chaisson.
Milton Williams.
Milton Williams.
Barmore.
Has talked a little more. Yep, Barmore back. So they could be good up front. Would you say that's a key tomorrow, shutting down Ashton Jeanty? Key to the game?
No, the key tomorrow would be win the turnover battle.
Well, that's always a key.
We get Butchie on the line.
Two new safeties in the back after you let Peppers go. You think the defense will be good? Great?
Good. I mean they're playing who? So, Geno?
Geno.
That was
Geno and Chip Kelly.
So
and Pete, who he worked with in Seattle.
The week two against Geno Smith last year was the dividing line of the season.
Yeah,
that was a game.
That's true. Good point.
They had the ball at the plus 30-something on 3rd and 5. Jacoby Brissett takes an awful sack. They don't get the field goal. Seattle goes down the field, ties it. They lose in overtime. They would have been 2-0 off and running. And this year, I feel that everything that sucked that week one will not suck this week one. I think Drake May is better than Jacoby Brissett. He was better than Jacoby Brissett at week one of last year. They just didn't play him. They have better coaching. They have better players. They should win tomorrow. This is the first game in a while. Where
What's the current spread, Terp?
2.5.
2.5 still? Okay. That has not moved?
So, I mean, this is a game, if you want a season, this is a game that you should win. You go down to Miami. You get ready, and you come back against the Steelers in a pick'em at Gillette Stadium, 2-0 against Aaron Rodgers.
But do you think if they lose the game, there is a legit excuse that Gonzalez was hurt, you had so many new players and new faces and a new coaching staff, you're going up against at least somebody in Pete Carroll with Geno, I know they're new there, but they had continuity at a previous place.
And Theo Epstein's distracted.
Theo's managing the live tour. Well, I think that's critical. What will your reaction be Monday if they lose? Are you going to pounce on them?
Well, I'll have to confirm it. And then, yes, I will absolutely pounce them. This is a game they should win. And there's a chance, you know, time heals most wounds. But Josh McDaniels was rightfully mocked and ripped a lot before he left. Like the third down draw play, like not great. So there is a chance that we go Monday morning. Well, I know Shime is not going to blame Drake May.
He'll be on McDaniels quick.
It'll be on McDaniels. It'll be Elliott Wolf.
This boob McDaniels. I can hear Shime saying it already.
Right. So, but at a certain point in year two, if you are a transcendent talent, not generational Ryan Clark, a transcendent talent, then you elevate whatever it is around you.
Well, yeah. What if he's not a transcendent talent, though? What if he's just a good quarterback, better than you've had in a while?
Well, then you wasted the third pick on him.
Well, no, because Josh Allen's not a transcendent talent.
Yes, he is.
You think?
Josh Allen?
Transcendent?
He's going to be a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Who's he ever beat?
What? He was the MVP of the NFL last year.
Okay, but has he made a Super Bowl yet?
Okay. No.
Well, I think you have to, if you're talking about transcendent, we talked about this before and you listed like four players,
okay,
Michael Jordan.
Sorry. Not transcendent, elite.
Okay, elite. Okay, so.
You want to do a Mad Lib?
But when was Josh Allen elite? What year, 4? It took him a while.
When he got Steph Diggs. But Drake May went 1-what last year as a starting quarterback?
Terp, what was Drake May's record last year officially?
He got credit for the Jets game.
Okay.
Well, that Brissett actually won, but he got credit for it.
Right. So he doesn't. For me, I doesn't get credit for that. So he won one game as the starting quarterback.
Okay. Well, he doesn't have to go from that to elites in year two.
No, but I'm saying everybody talks about Josh Allen early
He's
on.
Officially 3-9. Is that right?
Josh Allen early on was he was what, the seventh pick in the draft out of Wyoming. And he was a project.
Retiring his number this year, by the way.
That's right. Have you ever been to Wyoming?
I have. Devil's Tower. Awesome. Eastern part of the state. Spooky.
Devil's Tower?
Yeah, it's the site of Close Encounters of the Third Kind. You go there after dark. Ooh, man, it is like UFO creepy stuff.
What? When did you go there?
Oh, I've taken a couple trips west with my buddies in college, and we did tour around the country. Nope. High school buddies.
So, wait, so you drove from Pittsburgh to Wyoming?
Yeah, I drove all over the country.
What?
Yeah, it took 2 weeks. Awesome. 1998 and 2000, two separate cross-country trips. Great. Some of the best days ever. But anyway, Devil's Tower, you got to go there. It's
in
the middle of nowhere.
How many people were in the car?
Four.
What car?
My buddy had a car when he was 18. We would like take turns sleeping in the back. You know, the four of us would go. We went up down to Texas. We went through the Grand Canyon, Vegas, California coast, back. Awesome. You got to do that when you're a teenager, like young 20s. That is the Terp should be doing that right now. Yeah.
I went with Jordan to Pebble Beach. His dad gave a speech for MetLife. That was my...
Nah, we roughed it. We stayed in Motel 6s.
That's awesome.
But anyway.
I'm Tom Baudet.
Yeah, and I've been to Yellowstone, but it was too crowded. I was not a big Yellowstone fan. Too much. I mean, it's beautiful, but it's just tourist central. You know?
You got to go to Devil's Tower. That's where the locals go.
I would go see a game where Josh Allen played. Where is the University of Wyoming? Is that Cheyenne?
Well, that's the capital of Wyoming.
Okay. But he was the seventh overall pick, back to your point, right. 2018, yes.
So, yes, it took a bit, but early on, he had more flashes than Drake May did. I mean, right now, if you had to redraft it, it would be Jaden Daniels 1, Drake May 2, right? Mm-hmm. Caleb Williams is a big question mark with the Bears.
Right.
So, in hindsight, it wasn't a bad pick, but there is the time and place where he has to take over. And Mac Jones' 2021 season is a great benchmark to use for Drake May this year.
I guess.
Same coordinator, similar talent. I think Drake May has better talent around him than Mac did in 2021. And Mac had 23 touchdowns, 10 picks, whatever it was, and was a Pro Bowler.
8-9 that year, right?
Yes.
That was the 8-9 year?
No, 2021 was the 10-7.
Oh, 2021. Yes.
Because then McDaniels left in 22, and that's when Patricia and
that was his rookie year. Max rookie year, 10-7. So, I mean, they just had a better team, I think.
Really? Like, go. So, Hunter Henry's still here. They have, I think, better running backs. James White got hurt early on. You have, I think, a better defense. Yeah, I think the Patriots are a better team right now than they were in 2021.
Okay.
What was the NFL? What was their over-under? 2021 NFL over-unders.
Yeah, looking back at that team, you had Bourne and Jacoby Myers. I mean, I guess that's the argument. You had Myers.
So basically identical. 9 was the win total, and they were 8.5 right now.
Damian Harris. Bourne actually had a decent year. That whole thing was weird. A lot of turnover. You're right about that with past captains and whatnot. They had McCourty. Devin McCourty was on that team. J.C. Jackson.
Before he got paid by the Chargers.
Before he got paid.
What is your expectation of the pay? You keep asking me.
I like 7 wins,
what?
I think, is reasonable. I think that's not a bad year, to be honest. I know their schedule stinks, but they have so much going against them here right now.
We're doing the schedule right now.
The division is bad. Miami's a question mark.
It's not a question mark. Miami sucks.
Yeah. Their quarterback's ahead of where
you
are.
So you have them winning tomorrow or no?
I don't feel good about tomorrow, no. They certainly have a chance, but I would pick the Raiders just based on Gonzalez out, two rookies making their first start on the left side, and the Raiders have more continuity, even though it's new guys. They're guys that worked together before.
More continuity? Oh, because Geno Smith and Pete Carroll.
Yeah, so I think they're going to just likely be ahead of the curve coming in there.
Just as an aside, totally unrelated to our conversation right now, is the Pete Carroll decision to throw on second down the most consequential sports decision of your lifetime?
Oh, the most consequential. It was huge. It was huge, no doubt about that. I don't think it's probably not you put the Falcons comeback as greater, don't you?
Consequential decision. I'm not talking about greater or less than. That singular moment changed history in many, many, many ways. Mm-hmm. Patriots would have lost three straight Super Bowls.
Not to mention Bill's coaching up of Malcolm Butler.
Exactly. Undrafted free agent. So you have that moment where the Seahawks go back-to-back against Peyton Manning and Tom Brady. The Legion of Boom defense is now the greatest defense in NFL history.
Well, you can't put it above the Bledsoe-Brady decision, as you pointed out the Costos yesterday.
Of course you can.
Really? More consequential than choosing Brady to play in 0-1 against the Rams?
Yes. That decision ended a dynasty before it began and restarted another.
Yeah, but that started the original dynasty.
Right, but in the moment that you can't do with benefit of hindsight. I'm talking about in the moment.
An in-game moment?
In the moment that Bill Belichick decided to go with Brady over Belichick, they had never won a championship. Mm-hmm. What we're talking about is the moment that Pete Carroll, from the one-yard line on second and goal, elected to pass, changed the course of history in a way that no other singular decision in my lifetime has.
What about the Tuck rule? The decision by the ref to overturn.
But that's also stopping something. The Patriots at that point were an afterthought. It wouldn't have been remembered because the Raiders would have just won and the Patriots were an also-ran.
Okay, but it's tough if you can't use hindsight, though.
No, but I'm saying that in the moment, the Patriots had won three, but they had also lost two straight Super Bowls. Mm-hmm. The Seahawks had just won.
Done. Seattle was ascending. Oh, it was gigantic.
The Patriots drafted Jimmy G. Who knows what Jimmy G does the next year if Brady loses three straight Super Bowls. That singular moment.
Big. This cost Pete Carroll Hall of Fame?
According to everybody, that's the biggest, most-watched Super Bowl best game ever in Super Bowl history.
Like, Carroll went to USC, and I guess they probably cheated, but, like, he was really good there.
Right.
Then won one, and has been okay since. Like, even in Seattle, he's kind of like a Mike Tomlin. They win nine games every year. He's got a really good resume. Probably not a Hall of Fame coach, though, right?
No.
And that decision might keep him out of it. Now, is Dan from Franklin from Wyoming?
I have no
idea. Or he just wants to talk about Wyoming? Either way, we're going to go to him.
Yeah, yes, I am.
Hey, Dan. What's going on?
Hey, yeah, no, I grew up in Cheyenne, and I went to school in Laramie, where
it's Laramie.
University of Wyoming plays.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is Josh Allen
like
huge out there?
Feet.
Is he like a god?
Oh, God, yes. I mean, when I went to college in the 80s, the stadium wasn't as nice as my high school stadium. Not even close.
Dan, at the University of Wyoming, do they have Wi-Fi yet?
right, and indoor plumbing.
Wow,
yeah.
Unbelievable!
It's awesome.
Does
it's
everybody
awesome.
Pack
it
heat?
Is. It's huge. Well, you know,
right?
I mean, the high school I went to has been open since '64. About 2,000 students. I would say a third have guns in their cars. No shootings ever.
Wow.
Ever.
People are responsible.
Well, yeah, only Dick Cheney when he's out hunting. But yeah, carry on.
Right. Yeah. I actually knew Dick. I worked for Senator Malcolm Wallop. Dick Cheney is not from Wyoming.
I thought he was from Wyoming.
He visited. No. Oh. He's a carpetbagger.
Oh,
and
okay.
So's Liz.
Amen.
No, she's from Virginia, D.C. area.
I got you. Okay, I'm sorry to have gotten off track. What's on your mind?
No. Just going to say that I'm hoping for the Bills. I mean, I root for the Broncos, but then I root for the Pats, you know, if the Broncos aren't involved. And I think the Pats are maybe a year or two away. I really like Drake May. But I'm hoping that Josh Allen and the Bills can get over the hump and get into the Super Bowl.
Yeah. All right, Dan, thanks for the check-in. Laramie is where Josh Allen is going to have that number retired.
Love it.
Now, he brings up kind of a good point, though, that they're a couple years away. Nobody would argue with that, right? Pats are a few years away.
I don't think they're a few years. I think they're a winning record. They have a winning record this year. But, yes, they're not contending for a championship.
What hurts them is Washington's success last year and Houston's success. Quick turnarounds in short spurts of young quarterbacks. It's an unfair comp, really. But that's now the standard.
Right. So let me just give you, just to stay on this Josh Allen comp for a minute. So year two for Josh Allen. The team he quarterbacked went 10-6. He threw for 3,089 yards, brutal completion percentage of 59%, 20 touchdowns, 9 picks, but 4 fourth quarter comebacks and 5 game-winning drives. That if Drake matches all of that, I'm perfectly fine. I think it's a little bit of an underachievement, but if he's able to get 4 or 5 fourth quarter comeback game winning drives,
oh, that'd be gigantic.
That's what we were missing, I think, last year.
Instead of fourth quarter picks to seal games,
exactly.
The other way.
I think that would be a definite step in the right direction. And so I think if you want to continue that and say that that would be his second year, we would consider it a success.
Couple texts, 508. We always compare Drake May to Herbert and Allen. I think the most comparable quarterback is Geno Smith. It will be evident tomorrow. You see that? Geno Smith is the Drake May comp? I mean, that'd be a bit disappointing if at the end of his career he
ends up. I hope he's not Geno.
Let's go to Bill in Newton on, I think this is on Consequential Sports Moment, which you brought up. Hi, Bill.
Hi, how's it going? I've been hearing a lot on this radio station lately about how ridiculously important and how tough that decision was for Bill to go with Brady. I feel like I'm on an island here. Bledsoe sucked. He was absolutely horrible as a quarterback in his last 2 years for Pete Carroll, and then he was 5-13 in his first 17 games or 18 games with the Patriots and Belichick. Brady was outstanding that whole entire year as a fill-in. There was no decision to be made. I actually think the decision I made this morning between a bacon, egg, and cheese and a sausage, egg, and cheese was harder than that.
What'd you go
that
with?
That was the easiest.
Bacon.
I went with sausage.
Oh,
oh
man.
That's a tough decision. That's a surprise.
I think it's National Bacon Day. Look it up.
Did you actually think, I mean, maybe you do. I mean, do you really think that it was a 50-50 toss-up the way Brady has played all year?
Bill, with the benefit of hindsight clouds, my guess is that every other coach in the NFL would have said, get that ankle healthy. We're not rushing you back into the Super Bowl. We're going to have Bledsoe remain in that position, and then we'll go with Tom going forward maybe. But I do not believe that the organization had just given him $100 million. They had just won the AFC Championship. There wasn't the two-week break. Brady had a high ankle sprain against that team. I really thought it was ballsy. I think it's as big of a decision as you can possibly make.
I mean, okay, that's fair, but I just look at how Bledsoe had played.
Oh, I hated
even
Bledsoe, Bill.
AFC,
you and I agree.
Even in
he
the
sucked.
AFC title game.
God, did he suck.
He sucked.
But his teammates
even
didn't,
even against Pittsburgh,
right?
He got lucky.
I mean, did you remember that Pittsburgh game? I want to find the YouTube of it, Bill, where he literally just chucks it over his head.
He throws it right over his head.
What an
like,
idiot.
It was like, this is the Bledsoe that I remember, and I would have figured against the Rams, he would have done 2 or 3 things like that. Maybe threw for 300 yards and 3 touchdowns because he was a gunslinger.
Right.
But he was no different than Favre at the end. He would make dumb throws, and Brady did not do that. And that's where Belichick was really the best coach. And maybe those few years is where you can say he was the greatest, because after that, it was all Brady. And there ain't no argument anymore.
What about the touchdown pass to Patton that just dropped it right in there?
That's right.
Big. Historic.
My favorite is when he would pat the ball in the pocket and then just stare at Ben Coates.
But listen to his teammates. Ty Law's here every week, and Wiggy, they think they would have won with Bledsoe. I imagine it was a very shocking decision to them.
Go back onto that field where the AFC trophy is, the championship trophy is handed to Brewski, and he hands it to Bledsoe, and he's got tears in his eyes. And the guys, I mean,
yeah, so it was a tough decision with his teammates.
Of course that was a tough, but I think Wiggy and Ty say that because they like Drew Bledsoe.
Well, they like themselves. they think they would have won.
But exactly.
They don't want to diminish the.
To compare the two is, you know, laughable.
Tony in New Hampshire. Hello, Tony.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good, thanks. Curtis, when you mentioned the most inconsequential sporting event in our history, I know it's football season, but the very first thing that popped into my head was Grady Little sending Pedro out in that eighth inning.
Yep.
Think of how much changed in the following Red Sox years. If, say, Grady Little didn't do that and they won that game, there's no guarantee they would have beat the Marlins, but we may have been looking at 2-3 more seasons of Grady Little coaching the Red Sox. We might not have the win in 04, in 07, I think it was.
Yep. Yeah, that's a great one. That was consequential in terms of, you know, that maybe then impedes the ability to have what 04 became, which is the most unbelievable existential experience as a sports fan one could possibly have. So,
But it only led to 4 so far. The Pats decision led to 6.
Right.
So 6-4.
Well, the Pats decision led to 3.
Oh, well, yeah. You want to go with Pete Carroll.
Right.
Well, Pete's back tomorrow. He can get his revenge.
Bologna sandwiches in the press box?
Who's got more revenge at stake? Pete Carroll,
Josh McDaniels,
Robert Spillane,
ooh,
Jacoby Myers.
Well, Jacoby Myers can't be mad at that was a Bill thing.
They still hold a grudge. Spiro Dedes is in the booth. He might be pissed.
It'd be great if Jacoby Myers showed up in TCU Horned Frogs attire.
Can I get a little socks talk?
That was such an awful decision by Bill to just let him walk for nothing. Like, that guy, do you remember that game against the Raiders?
They signed Juju for him, right?
The fail Mary.
It was Juju.
And he made.
He's now the Chiefs' like only hope.
But the awful lateral that Jacoby threw to Mac that was intercepted by Chandler Jones, talk about a wild moment encapsulated in one play. After that game, that guy stood in front of his locker, took every question, said, "It's on me." I mean, the guy was everything you'd ever want. A guy that made his own career, grew from an undrafted guy into the number one wide receiver free agent. And you just say goodbye.
Bill did some good things here toward the end.
God, so dumb.
It's a Bill-free show today. No right. Belichick bashing today.
The bill came due.
People don't like it. It's uncomfortable. It makes people uncomfortable in this region.
Just, yeah, he has no clothes, people. I'm sorry.
But the socks are making me uncomfortable. I would just like to unpack that a little bit.
How perfect is that? The emperor has no clothes. The ring cam.
Yeah, you should put that on social.
Yeah.
It's Ken and Curtis. We'll continue this hot discussion next.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Follow and listen to Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
AUDACY. Type that into your app search, then download.
This is Ken and Curtis on WEEI.
Ken and Curtis show with you until noon today and possibly all month, just to make amends for a couple weeks off, Curtis. So I'm making you work an extra hour this month while Sox season continues on.
Sounds like a consequential decision.
That is. Now, by the way, our afternoon co-host, Ted Johnson, texting in, joining your discussion of most consequential decision in Boston sports history this millennium. I asked him, were you shocked that Bill chose Tom to play the game? Not really, no. So I guess I was wrong. Ted Johnson was not surprised they chose Tom. In fact, he says Tom was the better QB. They don't win if Drew is the quarterback. So,
of course. Ted Johnson, as usual, right again.
But Ty Law and Wiggy disagree. Just throwing that out
Wiggy
there.
Just says it to bother me. He doesn't actually.
Now, are you real quick before we get back to the calls, are you worried about the Sox collapsing here?
No. I just don't think it's just going to end with – it's not going to be a crescendo. Like, the peak was – you know, going 10-2 against the Yankees or whatever it was.
They're just going to whimper in?
It's just going to be...
hang on and get in?
Remember that? What was the... Before 18, they made the playoffs and lost in the wild card a couple times to the Astros. And it was like, you know, I think they got swept. It's just kind of a dud. Like, I don't think it's going to be... It's not going to be 21. It could be. But the Roman Anthony injury was massive. The deadline was a debacle. And they had an opportunity to get some insurance in relation to injuries, and they elected not to, and this is where they are.
What if Roman comes back sooner than advertised?
He's just not going to come back.
Wild card round, like Kirk Gibson just comes off the bench.
I'll bet you lunch that he does not come back.
That he's done?
Yeah.
How about Meyer?
I thought you were going to say at the Stockyards. They have free parking.
He seems done as well. Now we got a new...
Meyer's done, officially done.
Is he officially out?
Yeah.
Oh, he's done.
Are you a baseball guy or what?
Okay, well, maybe you'll surprise. He'll just break the rules.
By the way, one of the most insulting texts of all time, Jeff Fisher, better coach than Bill Belichick in the text line.
Well, somebody said Pete Carroll's a better coach than Bill.
Yeah, well, definitely in college.
You know, it's only game one. I don't like to overreact.
And speaking of consequential moments, I was it popped up in my algorithm, the USC-Notre Dame, Charlie Weiss, Pete Carroll, Reggie Bush game.
Oh, yeah.
The first tush push into the end zone that led to the Notre Dame loss to USC, that was one of the most consequential college games of all time.
That's true. We have Terp producing today and also one of our new producers, Jason Ward, who hosts a Red Sox. What's your name of your Red Sox blog, Jason? Your Red Sox podcast?
It's called In the Dugout.
In the Dugout. So here's a Red Sox guy who's in it through thick and thin. Are you worried about a collapse?
I'm worried, but I wouldn't call it a collapse. I mean, they have a 96% chance of making the playoffs, still according to Fangraphs. So they're going to get in. I may call it a fizzle out. I think you're going to have some guys who are pretty tired in that pitching staff. Crochet's pitching more innings than he ever has. Several of the relievers are throwing. Brandon Bernardino's arm's going to fall off. So you have a lot of tired guys who aren't used to going this deep into the season. Roman Anthony, obviously, that's a major loss. He's probably not going to be back for a wild card round if you do make it in the playoffs. So I'm worried they're not going to collapse in the sense that I don't think they're going to miss the playoffs, but they're not really going to be super hot leading into the playoffs in my mind.
Yeah, no doubt about that. They'll get in. I think that's the sentiment. Just get in. And then you got Crochet in game one, so things change. By then, you'll just your mood will turn around.
I'm already. Let's do it.
All right, let's go to back to the calls. Let's go to Mark in Medford. Hello, Mark.
Hey, thanks for taking the call, guys. So I do agree that I think the Patriots will have a winning record this year. But with that being said, and that would be a huge step forward compared to the last 2 years. Okay, but with that being said, say the Patriots do go 9-8. Or 10-7, right? Mm-hmm. That means their schedule next year will be more difficult than this year. So you think they take a big step forward this year by getting that winning record, but next year they might take a step back because their schedule will be a lot more difficult?
I guess so. That's always tough to predict. Thank you, Mark. The schedule talk gets dicey, right? Because it's two games flex based on your schedule, and then you're playing four games. You play the same finisher in your division.
I'll be happy to do that next July when we have nothing to talk about. I am not doing next year's schedule talk today.
I do think the expectations are too high, though. People are generally setting themselves up for disappointment with the Pats. People are expecting big, big things. 10, 11 wins? Are you crazy?
Yeah.
That's insane.
The thing about Bill, because everybody gets mad that Ted Johnson has a disdain for Bill Belichick.
Mm-hmm.
My thing is, who wouldn't? You play for the guy. He demands all the credit. He tells you to subjugate your ego while he gets the highest paid contract and he gets his kids the highest paid deals while you have to go begging for cash just to get fair market value. He did exactly what Mayo did to Bill Parcells when he was here in 96, warming up, cozying up to Bill and to Robert and Myra. Like, he asks for loyalty but gives zero.
Well, I put the poll up. What's the most consequential decision in Boston sports history this millennium? Pete Carroll, Malcolm Butler, Brady over Bledsoe, Grady keeping Pedro in. So far, Brady over Bledsoe, 76% of the votes.
Definitely.
So that's probably going to win the poll. But you disagree. Ted disagrees.
I agree.
We'll battle it out as we continue on Ken and Curtis.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Follow and listen to Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.